Part 25, Chapter 1. For the first time in what had been a dreary, wearisome year, the small gray man was intense and interested. Hope, to which he had become a stranger, struggled to rise in his breast. Faint still, but it was there. He had no real interest in the overpowering flash they had seen, and almost did not bother to watch the roiling, filthy mass of violent cloud which rose above the earth. It was that momentary trace on his screen. A teleportation firing. A trace he had never hoped to see again. His immediate reaction was to see whether any of these military minds in the ships around had seen the flickering trace. He listened anxiously to their chatter.
"It was obviously a nuclear explosion,"
said the Bolbod. That settled it for him. He thrust his pugnacious face forward from his collar until it was almost visible, as though daring somebody to dispute him. The Tolnep half-captain made an immediate proposal to go down there and really wipe the place out. The Hoven speculated that the situation might be political and sought to pull the small gray man into it. But the small gray man was non-committal. He was waiting to see what the others knew. It was the Huckner super-lieutenant who summed it up. He put his monocle to his eye and sniffed at them.
"You fellows are missing the point, rather. Earlier intelligence told of a night raiding party vanishing in the area. Quite obviously, what we've just seen is the culmination of a political surface war. And I rather say that the government has now changed hands. As we know, the political scene was unstable. A priesthood earlier took over the planet. Those yellow fellows in the robes. But they lost out, perhaps, and were driven back to that temple in their southern hemisphere. Some military group,"
he continued,
"has now obliterated the former capital of the planet with nuclear weapons. With two separate revolts in just the last few months, the political climate is highly unstable, and the time is ripe for a concerted attack by us."
"Yes,"
rumbled the Bolbod.
"We should go right down and smear them."
The Jambachow commander laughed lightly.
"I'm afraid you will have to count me out, gentle sirs. For the moment, at least. Have you looked over there at that shoulder on the mountain peak? The one just to the west of the capital?"
There was silence, and then some startled gasps. 15 assorted battle planes and marine attack carriers were just now rising into view.
"It was an ambush,"
said the half-captain.
"Bah,"
said the Bolbod.
"Their firepower does not compare to even one of our major vessels."
"They could be quite nasty,"
said the Jambachow in his lilting voice. There was a lull. Abruptly, a face filled the viewer of the small gray man. It was Roof Arsbogger of the Midnight Fang, calling from the Tolnep Terrify class, battle plane launching capital ship, capture.
"Your Excellency,"
drooled the reporter,
"could we take advantage of this lull to get your personal reactions to this general situation?"
The small gray man was always calm, never emotional. All he said, and in a quiet voice, was,
"Get out of my view screen."
"Oh, yes, sir, Your Excellency. Indeed, sir, Your Excellency. At once, sir."
The diseased face vanished. The small gray man made a grimace of distaste, and then went back to considering the rest of them. Sooner or later, they would come to some conclusion and take some concerted action. So far, none had mentioned the teleportation trace. None of them was coming to any logical conclusion. Was each one privately hungering for prize money and keeping the rest in the dark? He would listen. It was always safe to listen.